Want a chance to win £250 in vouchers? All you have to do is fill out the Ballpark's listener survey. It takes just 15 minutes. The Ballpark podcast is celebrating our 10th anniversary in 2026. And after more than 130 episodes covering U.S. politics, we want to hear from you to shape our next decade. So hit the link in the show notes for the survey details and prize draw terms and conditions. Share your thoughts, and you could be £250 better off.
Hello, and welcome to The Ballpark, a podcast from the Phelan U.S. Center here at the London School of Economics. I'm Chris Gilson, Managing Editor of the Phelan U.S. Center's blog on U.S. politics and policy, USAP. Recent years have seen growth in the capability and use of AI tools across society, including by business, academia, the media, and in the economy more widely. Many institutions have embraced AI tools and models such as OpenAI's ChatGPT and Google's Gemini to provide solutions to a variety of challenges, from the everyday to the global. At the same time, many commentators have expressed concerns about bias in AI, its contribution to other global challenges like climate change, and that it may even be a threat to society or democracy. With this in mind, in the spring of 2025, the Phelan U.S. Center held an essay competition for LSE master's students. Students were asked to answer the following question prompt: is AI a threat or an opportunity for the U.S.? To answer this prompt, we asked students to write in the style of a USAP blog post, so less than 1,000 words and aimed at a wide audience. After submission, the essays were judged by a panel of Phelan U.S. Center staff and LSE academics. The essay competition winner was Kayode Edenee, an LSE student in the Department of Management. His essay was titled, AI in the U.S., the next space race or the next subprime crisis? The two runners-up were Natasha Chavez from LSE's Department of International Relations, who wrote, the AI race, will the U.S. lead or fall behind? And Francesca Nicolodi from LSE's Department of Social Policy, who wrote the essay, Trump's hunger for AI domination is allowing Silicon Valley to seize the state but not its people. The winner and runners-up all had their essays published on our USAP blog, where you can read them. You can also find links to all the essays in this episode's show notes. The winners and runners-up also attended an event in the UK Parliament in April 2025, where they presented and discussed their essays with members of the British American Parliamentary Group and other UK members of Parliament. In December 2025, I spoke to Kayode, Natasha, and Francesca about their experiences of the essay competition and what was a truly global conversation, with participants dialing in from the UK, China, and Ecuador. Well, thanks so much to you all for joining us today. It's great to be able to speak to you. Just to start us off, can you please introduce yourself, what your program at LSE is, and really importantly, where you're speaking from today? Thank you.
My name is Kayode Edenee, and I am speaking from London, East London to be precise. And my program at the LSE is Management of Information Systems and Digital Innovation. That's within the management department, and I'm happy to be here today.
Hey, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here. My name is Natasha Chavez. I'm originally from the beautiful city of Quito, Ecuador, and I'm speaking from here. And I'm currently wrapping up my MSc in International Relations here at the LSE.
Hi, everyone. I'm Francesca Nicolodi. I'm actually speaking from Shanghai, China, and I was following the double degree in International Social and Public Policy at LSE and Fudan.
Thanks so much to all of you for joining us. And I think it's just fantastic to hear. We're speaking to a huge range of people from basically all over the world right now, which is really great, especially given the essay competition topic. So just to kind of really start us off, it'd be great if each of you could just talk about how you found out about and why you entered the U.S. Center Master Student Essay Competition on AI this year.
So for me, it was one of the program manager at the Firouz Large Institute for Africa at the London School of Economics, LSE, that forwarded it to me. I was actually coming from the Chatham House. I actually went for one of the program at the Chatham House. And she forwarded it to me because she noticed that I write a newsletter on LinkedIn. And I just read through it about 8-9 days before the deadline.
It's funny because for me, like so many things at university, it was through one of LSE newsletters, and the master's competition really caught my eye. So at first, I really hesitated. I told myself, you're an international relations student. You're not a computer scientist. You don't know much about AI. But I realized that I wanted to learn more about this field. And because AI is something that it's just getting into everything in every single field. So I think it's very useful to learn more about it. And that's how I found out I decided to enter the competition.
For me, actually, I spotted the essay competition a year before. I just didn't really resonate with the topic, which was capitalism. And then I saw it again on the LSE newsletter, and I'm actually trying to get some sort of expertise in AI. So I think it was a great opportunity to see my knowledge on the topic and see how much I could gain from this experience as well. And that's why I joined.
I think I didn't really mention the why for me. So I had like 5 years work experience before coming to the LSE for my master's program. And since 2018, 2019, I've been using machine learning and computer vision. So I've been familiar with artificial intelligence. So when I saw it, I'm like, okay, let's give it a shot. So I think that was the major reason.
So now moving on to the essays themselves. So the essay prompt was, is AI a threat or an opportunity for the United States? It would be great if each of you could just give a very brief summary of what your essay was about and its argument.
Majorly, for me, I looked at the prompt from two perspectives. And this is because I love history, I love documentaries, because every time you get to see things that are happening presently in history, so nothing's really new. And that was why I decided to take a mirror perspective, look back and see what has happened in terms of innovation, major innovation. And I took this approach from, one, the moonshot, that's taking humanity to the moon and launching a rocket. And I was guided by decisive action and institutions that guided the process. And look at what happened when nothing like that happened at Wall Street and led to the subprime and, you know, the financial collapse. So that was the two angles that I approached the essays from and talk about that for us to move forward. Because I understand that too much restriction and regulation stifles innovation. So we have to tear it out. Which areas can we apply lesser restriction? Which area do we need to guide everything that goes out there? And that was my recommendation from two perspectives of when it went well with guidance and when it didn't. And lastly, let's tear the regulations and the policies.
I'm going to be as brave as possible. I tackled my essay from a completely different perspective, I think, which was the geopolitical and security one. Essentially, my argument was that we need to stop thinking of AI as just a tool for efficiency and start seeing it for what it represents in the world, which is kind of a defining battleground for the next global superpower. So I focus heavily on the rivalry between the United States and China. And I think right now there is this massive predominance in innovation, data control. So I argue that for the US, it is a massive opportunity, but only if the AI is revolutionizing the defense and cyber warfare, then innovation, which is the US has the best startups, but China has the state funding and data access. The talent war, because I kind of wanted to connect it to one of risks, a brain drain, if it doesn't fix its immigration policies to keep the best minds over there. And finally, semiconductors, which the US is reliant on chips from Taiwan. So I think this is one of the huge vulnerabilities that has.
So for me, I wanted to approach the topic from a US perspective, because when you think of threats and opportunity with the Trump elections coming up and the re-elections, what was going to be the impact of it on the US, for me, democracy was a major focus. So I was trying to see Trump's really pushing these AI investments, having Musk so involved in the elections and all these Silicon Valleys coming up. So I thought, okay, so this is the approach that the new president is taking, but what is the impact for Americans and how are Americans interacting with this change? So I looked at different aspects, the financial side, the legislative side, the democratic side on the grassroots ground, so what was happening. So I'll try to create an essay in which all these different sections were interacting and seeing basically kind of a nuanced answer to the broad question that the essay competition was about.
Thank you. And it was really impressive how all three of you approached the same topic in very, very different ways. And it just shows the breadth of your own expertise and interest, but also kind of the breadth of approaches to the issue of AI in general, too. So, Kaoda, you were the winner of our essay competition, and Francesca and Natasha, you were the runners-up. How did you feel when you found out that you were the winner and the runners-up in the competition? What was your kind of reaction when you were told?
For me, I think your call came in, then I couldn't, because I was on the train, I was in the tube. Then when I got to school, Clement Building, I remember, second floor, and you called, I was like, okay. That was like, I kept saying, okay, a few times, and yeah, felt very good.
Honestly, I was in the library when I got news and I was in shock. I think imposter syndrome is something a lot of us deal with at LSE because you're surrounded by such brilliant people all the time. And when I hit submit on my essay, I thought, okay, well, that was nice writing exercise. And I generally put it out of my mind. But when I got the news, I was just incredibly excited. It was like a massive way of validation for my work.
For me, it came out as a shock. So many different emotions, of course, happiness. I remember I had to come out of the office in which I was interning at the time to answer your call. And I couldn't believe it. I honestly couldn't believe it. Because for me, it was a recognition from, as Natasha mentioned, imposter syndrome. So having this very important institution recognizing my ideas and the way I was displaying them was actually just like thrilling, like such an amazing feeling.
And that's wonderful to hear from all you, especially I love hearing about where you all were at the time as well. Just to kind of follow up, one aspect of this essay competition was we asked people writing to write for a more general audience, not necessarily academic audience. So probably quite distinct from, say, what you might have done as part of your coursework, as part of your master's or previously. How did you all approach putting together the essay with that kind of more general audience in mind? Was that a straightforward process for you all, or were there some challenges attached to that?
Like I said earlier, what I did was to look at history. It makes things super easy for me, even when I wanted to make personal decisions. And that was the approach. Then there's something I always know when you are trying to write. Say the most with the fewest words. And of course, we have the word limit. So that was the goal, like say the most with the fewest words. And then that was my approach.
I think in my case, when I thought of a general audience, I put myself in it because I did not have a huge expertise in AI and I had to learn while I did the research. So when you're writing about a topic that isn't your primary specialty, you don't really have to worry that you're over technical because you are trying to understand that yourself. And then I was thinking, how can I make other people that don't have this specialty also understand me? So I think that's how I approach it.
Kind of similar. I think it was mainly gathering important information that was written in an academic way and transferring those information into simple words and simple paragraphs. That was kind of easy for me already because I write on the side through magazines and journals. So it wasn't that difficult. I think what I really focused on was to follow the way LSE US Center wanted the article to be. So the images with the right sources, with the style of the paragraphs. I've mainly focused on the format that was required than trying to make my content digestible because of my ability to do that already.
So the resources that the center provided in terms of giving that guidance was helpful in that respect?
100%, yes.
So do you think that the essay competition has been helpful or beneficial for you all? And not just talking about being a winner or a runner-up. Has the process of thinking about the essay topic, submitting something, and then the process after you became the winner and runners-up, and even since then, has that been beneficial or helpful?
So for me, I consciously measure my life and what I do based on how I positively influence people that matter to me anyway. My undergraduate program has about 44,000 students. And after I won, it went out and all those things. A couple of other students reached out for me from my school in Nigeria. And that made me proud. And it's just to show them that there are endless possibilities. So it's more than coming to academics, you know, go for things, shoot your shots. You can just do things. And secondly, I was told that the reviewer said my essay was particularly convincing and interesting and all that. That gave me the confidence actually moving forward. And in my essays during my program, I channeled that. And it came out, obviously, my managing artificial intelligence module, I had the highest grade. And my supervisor told me, my professor wrote in the comment, the feedback that I should publish that. So it has been very, very impactful to me.
Oh, absolutely. I would say the process was even more valuable than the prize. First, as I said before, it forced me to kind of crash course myself on artificial intelligence. Before this, my knowledge was pretty much surface level. So the research time frame was tight and I had to dive deep and fast into these topics. And I learned so much about semiconductors, regulatory frameworks, things I wouldn't have touched in my normal seminars. But beyond the knowledge, I think it was this skill of translating for a general audience, which was very valuable. Academic writing can sometimes be very isolating. We write in this bubble where we use big words and assume everyone knows the theories, at least in IR, because we have so much theories. This competition really forced me to break out of that safe space. I had to take these geopolitical concepts and really make them readable for a wider audience.
So for me, the process of writing my essay was split into two. So I consume a lot of information, podcast, articles for like 2 weeks. And then I wrote my essay in 6 hours. So it was a lot of like compact information into like 6 hours of just sitting down and getting this essay done. So that was the process. And I think it was mainly that challenging because of the pressure, right, of being in this massive competition for master's students and didn't know how many people I was going to be competing against. But then receiving the opportunity of sitting with MPs and talking to at the UK Parliament was something that was extremely new and thrilling. And from there, I kind of understood my true interest and passion in policymaking and talking to those who change the rules and govern our country. And from there, I kind of wanted to get into more of a public sector role, which then led me to intern in specific institutions. Also as well, like getting other opportunities from there, right? Kind of gained a sort of expertise in quotes about AI. So I was able to join other roundtables and other conversations on the topic after that as well.
Thank you. Well, I've got another question about the experience in Parliament, which we'll get to shortly. But my next question is thinking about the essays themselves and where they were published. And how did you all feel about having your work published and to a wider audience on the Phelan US Centre's USAP blog, which the centre then promoted really widely? How did you feel about that?
It's very good. There's a friend of mine who studied law, and because it was published on the center's blog, he was able to reference this in one of his academic essays. I think that wouldn't have been possible if it's just like anywhere that is not credible. So I feel very good, like, okay. Good, I feel honored for that.
I think having our essays published in the blog, it's very exciting. We kind of pour our hearts into our academic papers and maybe 3 people read them. And to have the LSE Phelan Center say this is good enough for the world to see, it's very fulfilling. It feels like stepping out of a student role and into more of a professional role. Plus, as Coyote said, having it published is something tangible. I can show more people, not just students, but also employers. And it's not just I have good grades, it's here's my engagement with critical issues.
I think for me, it underlined my professionalism as a writer, as well as being kind of the face that LSE wanted to showcase to the rest of the world. Not just being a student, but being a student with the knowledge and the capacity to create content that could go on a blog and be publicly accessible. I think it's a great honor, in my opinion. And I think that's why many other students should take that opportunity as well.
And just as a follow-up, after it was published, what sort of reactions did you have from maybe friends, colleagues, acquaintances, or were there any reactions from people you didn't know who approached you? I'd just be interested to hear from all of you. What did people think once you'd been published on the center's blog and maybe had a chance to read your essays?
For me, I have a few mentors that are like professors. One of them saw it when my mom posted it. So she was. So, and the professor read it and reached out to me that he's really proud of what I'm doing and all that. And being a professor of geography and him being able to understand what I've been able to say. Of course, I know professors are up there, of course, but he was able to tell me and we discussed again. We jumped on a call and we talked about it. And I felt very proud that someone who is a mentor to me sat down and read my work too and were able to talk about that.
In my case, I remember that we were in a seminar later in the term discussing US foreign policy, and I was able to bring all the evidence and research that I did for the essay competition, and my seminar leader really got impressed, and he really asked me, and I shared with him that I got this blog published in the center, and he took the time to read it, and he then congratulated me, and we shared some, exchanged some ideas because he was an expert on US foreign policy. So it was just great to share that with him, especially because he's a very respected professor in the IR department. So to have that kind of validation from him, not just friends that were excited, but from a professor, is also something that is great.
Me, many friends were very impressed. They congratulated me a lot, especially those students that were doing my double degree, so LSE Fudan. They were like telling me how I was kind of smart of taking advantage of still being an LSE student while being at Fudan University. So yes, extending my experience was something that I was happy I did, and others as well were happy for me. Other ways I was able to get on a different round table. So I actually approached them with the fact that I was able to be a runner up in the competition to be in this round table for Dazed Studio. And it was on AI and social connections. So the impact of AI on today's youth and their relation to social media. So again, it opened doors for me. It allowed experts and employers to see the quality of my work. And so, of course, it just, again, strengthened my work, my LSE path, and everything I was able to get from my education.
Well, those are some fantastic stories. It's wonderful to hear all the doors that have been opened and the fantastic feedback that you've all had. We've sort of touched on this already, but I do want to ask it. In what ways did the essay competition enhance your experience as a master's student here at LSE?
Primarily here at LSE, one big way for me was that, number one, I will talk about it from two perspectives. I was the president for the African program, leading postgraduate students. And from that, a few people came to me and we started talking about, because we've had feedback from our formatives. So how was I able to actually communicate properly? So I found myself actually explaining, positioning, like writing those things in a very good way. Then we drifted into how to write proper essays. So I was able to assist in that way. And my program is an innovation program, and it's all about value generation, looking at the people first, like the people. And that was the entire framing, you know, look at how Moonshot affected the people. At the end of the day, AI is as good as how it affects us, not AI on its own. So I think that is how it has shaped me. And of course, I think I mentioned this earlier, the module I did on artificial intelligence later after the competition also at the highest grade. And I focused it on healthcare, my final essay. And that was born out of the question I got from the MPs, actually, when they asked me about healthcare and I talked about the NHS.
I think in my case, the experience kind of broke the student bubble. Like, we can get comfortable in at university, at LSE. It connected that academic theory to the real world, because for international relations, it's such a broad field that you can be exploring so many topics. And in my case, I did not take any classes in AI or extracurriculars in it. So it allowed me to really expand my knowledge and connect it to other topics. So for one of my classes that we had that was foreign policy analysis, I could really connect it to that and just bring everything that I learned, and which allowed me to come up with better essays for my exams and stuff like that. It really made it better in the way that it expanded my knowledge, and it allowed me to see a topic that maybe I wouldn't have familiarized myself with if it wasn't for the competition.
Similarly to Natasha, in my program, in the International Social and Public Policy program, you didn't really have any course on digital policy or AI governance, which is something that I'm quite passionate about. And I ended up writing my thesis at Fudan University on data protection law. So to strengthen my knowledge or my interest in the topic, I think that essay truly was the right move. And around within LSE as a master's student, I think when you're doing your master's at LSE, you just don't really have any time for anything else. So if you have that little extra, if you're putting that little extra to be in the competition and become the runner up or the winner, then of course it adds up to your involvement in the university, your commitment to your academic path. And for that reason, I think it just added so much value to my diploma and was what I was able to learn overall.
Thank you all. That's great. As we sort of mentioned, the Failing US Center was able to arrange for Coyote to present this winning essay to the British American Parliamentary Group in the UK Parliament. And Natasha and Francesca, as runners-up, you were also able to talk about your essays in that session with members of Parliament. Can you all talk about your experience presenting and discussing your essays in Parliament and talking to MPs about AI, and also give a sense of the kind of the questions they asked and how you felt being questioned by MPs on this topic that you'd written your essays about?
Towards the end, the question I got that actually I still think about was that the moonshot was majorly by the government, but AI has majorly been led by private sector before government came in. That means it ran ahead of policies and regulations. And the MPs asked me if it was that way do I think that the moonshot would have been very successful? And because, of course, we know how the moonshot ended, we know how the mortgage crisis ended, we know even how the Manhattan Project. So, but I believe that right now, the tables have turned. Now, governments know that AI is as important as national asset, as, you know, having military, having all those things. And that is why a lot of attention is now being paid to it. And we've seen a lot of conferences by government. Even recently, the president of the United States signed the Genesis mission, you know, to focus on artificial intelligence and begin to put in a lot of effort. And I think that was actually very futuristic, because that was like months ahead of what the president did. And it actually made me reflect on. And I was surprised they read the essays. Yeah, I know they are busy. So they asked precise questions from those essays. So I was really impressed with that. And it really gave me very good confidence about the leaders we have.
So discussing our essays in Parliament was without a doubt one of the highlights of my year. I've done some advocacy work before in the gender and security space for gender organization. So I've been in rooms with MPs and civil society, but this was completely different. Walking into Parliament to discuss AI with members of the British American parliamentary group was very intimidating. They are the people who are setting the agenda and they are the experts, and we our master's students come in just to pitch our ideas. So I was very surprised of how genuinely engaged they were. It wasn't just like a photo op. They really read our work and they had, as Kayode say, specific questions prepared for us. And they really challenged us to talk about our own topics. So I remember discussing the implications of AI on democracy. And I realized that these were questions very relevant to today. They didn't have all the answers and they were actually curious and looking to us for kind of fresh perspective. And it made me realize that it's not the age or job title that determines the value of your ideas. I think when Coyote and Francesca and I were answering their questions, you could tell we were making an impact on how they viewed the issue. So it really bridged the gap between studying politics and doing politics in my case. And it was a massive confidence booster to hold my own in a room like that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with what Natasha just mentioned. I think being in that room at my age, having to tell, well, civil servants that have been doing their job for maybe 20 years about my own opinion on this topic was very frightening, but at the same time, something that I wanted to do for so long, being in that role. So it put me in an environment that I was never in before, and I gained so much trust in the fact that these MPs truly take the time to listen to every person in front of them, each opinion they listen. And I just liked the fact that I was able to be part of that conversation and in that environment as well. So again, I truly resonate with what Natasha said.
A question for you. Have you filled out the Ballpark survey yet? It's just 15 minutes, helps us get ready for our 10th anniversary. And if you're lucky, you might win £250 in vouchers.
I just want to address this particular question to Coyote, if I may. Coyote, you presented your winning essay to the British American Parliamentary Group. How did you find the process of translating your essay from a written essay to essentially a speech? And how did you feel when you were in the lead up to presenting it to that group and while you were presenting it?
I would take some step backward now. So I grew up in a church, go to church three times in a week on Sunday. So I've always been like having to read the Bible and talk in church. Then I had assistance from you, from the center, to help go through and let me say remix now. So remix is in a language that they can't understand. And when the email came in, I was able to go through and read about the MPs that are coming. Okay, this is what this person has done. This is their background. Okay, let me put it in the right perspective. And of course, we had two or three iterations on my presentation, and we even had like one physical delivery to you, and yes, the center was able to help. I think that was pretty useful, because actually the first one, thinking that I'm going to speak to MPs, I was actually a bit, you know, was not well collected, but after the second, third iteration, I was very okay with it. In the help, and of course my background, kudos to my parents in this regard, taking me to church and speaking to elders already. So I think that process really helped me in terms of delivery.
So following the essay competition, all three of you have collaborated on and submitted and presented a poster based on all three of your essays. And it was called AI in America, Three Stories About the Future That's Already Here. And you presented that to LSE's Interdisciplinary Student Research Conference, Knowledge Beyond Boundaries, and that was in June 2025. Can you all talk a bit about what inspired you to submit a joint poster together and your experience in taking part in the conference?
So one of my friends in my department saw it and it's like, oh, why don't you go and just present your essay again? And I saw it and I told Francesca, I told Natasha, and we're like, okay, let's give it a shot. Of course, we got a very good support from the center. Also, you gave us the push, like, give it a go. And I believe it's also another platform for us to also talk about what we've done, because beyond having it there on the blog and engage the MPs, we can also speak to regular people, students, for them to know what it is, because it's a collective rescue mission, actually, for AI to work. We all have to be involved. I think that was why we put in the effort.
So unfortunately, in my case, I couldn't be there in person to present because I was doing an internship at the time, which is the classic BCLSE student struggle sometimes. But seeing Coyote and Francesca engage in it was a fantastic experience in itself. When Coyote emailed me, because it was essentially Coyote's idea about doing the poster, I saw the inspiration really came from realizing that while we all answered the same prompt, we wrote three completely different essays, and it wasn't like we were repeating each other. If you put our three essays together, you actually get this comprehensive view of the AI landscape in the US. So I think that was such a great thing to do. And really, congratulations to Francesca and Coyote because they did the massive work presented at Knowledge Beyond Boundaries.
So it was Coyote's idea and it was a really good idea. I think it was a good way to keep the conversation ongoing and having more people to join us and hear what everyone else thought about what we presented on. Funny enough, I arrived really last minute to the presentation, so Coyote had to present the poster to everyone else's in the room. But then we had a really good conversation with everyone else's that was presenting their own posters at the time. And that was as well good to see, good to hear, good to see how everyone was kind of portraying their own ideas, because that was a really different format. We had to put our three articles in one poster and fit everything in a way where they could be kind of together, but not really. So like in a cycle, we kind of put it in a cyclical. I don't really remember right now how we did it, but it worked. And that was really fun to think again about the topic and putting it in that composition.
So I just want to give thumbs up to Francesca because I'm very bad with visuals. So I did the draft for the abstract. Then I sent to Francesca and she did all the design on Canva. Like,
I mean,
yeah, and it was super fine. Honestly, you know, positioning the image, like, it was super, super fine.
That's great to have some insights into the collaborative process that went into that. So has taking part in the Master Students Essay Competition given you any new perspectives on AI or any part of your experience as an LSE student?
Personally, I spent the early part of my career after undergrad modeling flood risk, disaster risk, and all those things. And I was using computer vision, machine learning, and AI. Now, I believe I can take it a step further, actually. And that is why most of the things I'm trying to do now is embedded within, okay, there's AI at the top, and then there's energy and compute at the base, because I'm currently on my internship with the United Nations Development Program. And that is why I'm trying to see how I can develop more models that can, if we want AI to work very well and reach everybody and be scalable and be sustainable, we need good compute, we need to be resilient. And I'm trying to develop ideas and models that can help to make energy more resilient, more sustainable, and more to increase adoption. Majorly, that is how it is. Because I am taking a step back to look at artificial intelligence at the top, but basically you're looking at energy and compute. And that is why when you see that within the United States, you know, trying to set up coal factories again and using nuclear and all those things. So the models are fine. Now we have to look at what makes the train run. That is the rails. And that is what I'm actually working on right now.
So the essay competition really opened my eyes to on kind of two sides of the coin. On one hand, I learned that AI is not just a technical issue. It can also be very political. And before this, I might have thought of AI as something very focused on engineering or innovation. And now I see it as one of the central pillars of foreign policy. And that was a huge shift in perspective for me as an IR student. Nowadays, you really can't understand modern politics power dynamics without also understanding technology. And on the student experience side, it kind of taught me the value of saying yes to a lot of extracurriculars at LSE. It's so easy to get buried in your reading list and just focus on your essays and your grades. But looking back, this competition, going to Parliament, getting published, these are the things that makes a degree very rewarding. And it really transformed my experience from just attending classes to really being an active participant in this community. So it taught me that university isn't just about what you consume, but it's also about what you produce and what you can contribute to the student community.
I agree. So for me, same, it helped me to understand that academia has to get out of the classroom and the books and the thesis into the real world. And that's a different challenge. And for me, it was kind of a continuation of what I was already mentioning in my essay. So the fact that AI is shaking democracy, is kind of changing the way we look at rights, the way we regulate data, and how these are new threats that we have never had to really combat or look into since technology arrived. So disinformation and trying to talk about the serious dangers of using it too much, to rely too much on AI for any mental support. So that's why I was able to join that roundtable on the social connection and how AI is changing that nowadays, especially for the new generation. So for me, it just opened more doors.
And we've kind of covered this already, but I do want to ask it again, just in case there's anything we've missed. Has taking part in the essay competition opened up new opportunities for you, both academically and in terms of your careers, or even just changed the way you think about where your careers might go?
I have a lot to say, actually, because when I applied to 3 graduate programs within the UN, UNEP, UN Habitat, and I got everything. And during the interview, I mentioned that I presented, and because we were all AI-related roles, and I forwarded the link during the interview, I dropped it there. Oh, this is interesting. And I also presented at the Parliament. And I believe that counted, because when I got in, actually, one of the HR actually messaged me that we'll see what you do, saw your essays, and we saw your engagement at the Parliament. Very grateful to that. Secondly, I also went to Cambridge for an hackathon. And it was because some of my friends in Cambridge saw that I already won an essay and they invited me for an hackathon in Cambridge. Over 40 universities came, around about 1,000 people, and I won the challenge. My team won the challenge for Luminance. And it's just like the ripple effect of just one essay out there. And right now, people send me every and anything on AI. I'm like, okay, let's have it. It's been good. I'm really grateful for that experience. And it has spiked my confidence. I'm looking at applying for PhD programs now, focused on artificial intelligence, but within climate resilience and mapping.
So it's kind of the same for me in terms of interviews. I think when you say I published an article on AI and discussed it in Parliament, people's ears kind of just open up. And it really shows that you're a proactive person, that you really can communicate very clearly, and that you're also comfortable engaging with these parliamentary stakeholders. So it gives you that portfolio piece that is very credible for when you're applying to jobs and doing interviews. It's not just a grade on a transcript. And specifically for me, my interest kind of lies in migration. So I touch a little bit on the talent war and immigration reform for tech workers in my essay. And that research actually gave me a lot of specific knowledge that I'm also using as I apply roles in immigration law. And I can talk about visa policies, not just from a humanitarian angle, but from an economic competitiveness angle. So it really helped me bridge that gap between my general interests and policy arguments that I can bring up during my interviews.
So for me, as I mentioned earlier, the ability to join roundtables on the topic was kind of the first delivery after the essay competition. And then now I just finished my internship at the British Chamber of Commerce here in Shanghai. I was part of the advocacy and policy team. And for that, say, it's the fact that you are able to meet with MPs and make those discussions about what's going on in the country, and especially what's happening in China, and how we can find a way to get the Chinese policy to relate to the UK policy, and where are they mismatching or matching, right? And I think when we're talking about AI or any other topic which goes beyond borders, then that conversation about international relations and how we make make policy making in our own country just is relevant to any population, any situation. So for me, it just gave me that bigger perspective, that zoomed out perspective on relations between countries, especially when we're talking about technology. So yeah, I'm very happy I had that opportunity and it still is relevant today.
Thank you. That's so wonderful to hear from you all. My last question, is the competition a good opportunity for LSE students? And what would you say to others considering entering the contest? So if someone's listening to this podcast right now and they're thinking about entering the next competition, what would you say to them?
Honestly, I would say that this is one of the best, and I'm not trying to sweet talk this because you can just do it. I take a lot of inspiration from Demi Sasabis, who won a Nobel Prize in 2024, chemistry, and he developed Google DeepMind and very high-end AI model. You should try great things, and I believe this competition is one of the greatest ones you can try as a master student at LSE. Please give it a shot.
The competition is a great opportunity, and if you are even thinking about it, you should just do it. I think a lot of students kind of self-select out of these things. We think, oh, I'm not an expert, or I don't have the time during my master's. But the investment of the time doing the essay is very small compared to the return you get from it. And writing 1,000 words is very manageable. It's definitely shorter than most of our essays. So someone can do it. And I will tell other students, don't worry about being an expert on the topic. Your value is kind of your fresh perspective. And LSE is full of incredible critical thinkers. And this platform is really designed to amplify that voice, your voice. And even if you don't win, then the practice of refining your ideas and writing for a public audience is a skill that will serve you academically and for your career. And if you do win, then you end up discussing with lords and MPs in parliament. So you really have nothing to lose with this.
Yes, 100%. So I think exactly the same. I think any LSE student would really benefit from this kind of experience just because it's kind of like that cherry on the cake. You just finished your academic experience, or you're just about to finish it in a few months, and you have never been in any other environment than in front of a professor or in front of a student. And then you're faced with civil servant asking questions about this specific essay you wrote. But again, as Natasha mentioned, it's not just about the result, is also the fact that the reward you feel by putting together your ideas and even being in that competition, right, is not just about winning. It's about showing to yourself that you have the capacity to do that. And I think that already getting into LSE is enough for any student to feel that they have the capacity. And for that, it's just such a shame to lose such a great opportunity because we think we're not enough. And for that reason, we miss so many chances. So I think that anyone that is thinking about it should really take that opportunity and go for it.
I just want to say a big thank you to the center, actually. What's grateful for the platform. We're grateful for this, actually, having students at the back of your mind and providing opportunities like this for us. It's super important, and I do not take it for granted, and I really, really appreciate it. And I believe everyone else do. And I just want to say that you are shaping lives, and it actually matters a lot.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much to you all. It's been absolutely wonderful to catch up with you all. Coyote, Francesca, Natasha, best of luck with your future endeavors. And thanks so much for taking the time to speak to the ballpark.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Coyote Edini, Natasha Chavez, and Francesca Nicolodi are LSE master students. And that's it for this episode of The Ballpark. Thanks so much to Coyote Edini, Natasha Chavez, and Francesca Nicolodi for joining us in this episode. For more information about the Failing US Center, you can go to www.lse.ac.uk/united-states. And keep an eye on our social media feeds for details about our next Master Students Essay Competition, which will be launching in early 2026. On X and Instagram, we're at @LSE_US, and on Facebook, we're LSE United States. This episode was produced by Chris Gilson and Avan Fata. Our theme tune is by Ranger and the Rearrangers, a Seattle-based gypsy jazz band. You can look them up at rangerswings.com. To listen to all our previous episodes, just enter LSE Ballpark into your search engine of choice. You'll find us. We're free to listen to, and unlike lots of other podcasts, we're ad-free. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. Email us any feedback at uscenter@lse.ac.uk, or you can send us a tweet @LSE_US, and tell your friends about us. The content and opinions expressed in this podcast do not reflect those of the Phelan US Centre or the London School of Economics. Thanks for listening.